We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks. $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code. Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, we are here. We are recording the day before the play-in game. We're finally here. All that jockeying for the Warriors to end up in the 9-10 game, even though they won more games than last year. You are back from your trip. Haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. Where's your head at with this team? Kind of getting here.
Honestly, it's kind of perfect. It really is. I'm excited for this week. I think it's a perfect way to end what has been one of the most frustrating seasons I think the Warriors have had in this dynasty run. I think there's been some heartbreaking seasons, but this is one of the most just kind of painful watches, and it's nice that it's going to come down to either one or two win or go home, Sam. It is fitting that they also go up against the Sacramento Kings, who I feel like the Warriors feel like they're favored. They are favored, basically in a coin flip. They are slightly favored, but it feels that even though we're going down to the wire, it feels like the fact that we still got belief that the Warriors are going to win, while not being surprised that they would lose by 15 tomorrow night, is a perfect way to sum up this season.
It has been like a frustrating season, mostly because I don't really know what they're doing, to be honest with you. They're not rebuilding. They want to go for it, but they probably don't have a team to actually make some noise. They could talk about how they want to be the Miami Heat, you know, until they're blue in the face. I know they talk about that. And to be honest, if they get out of the play-in, would it shock you if they beat OKC?
No.
No. There's enough winning players on this team that, like, all that stuff is possible. But it has kind of felt like after last year, they didn't really do enough to change things. I know they ended with more wins. I know that the advanced metrics say this is a significantly better team than last year's team. But end of the day, they're still a mid-40 win team with some major issues across the board. Anyway, we get to the Kings. I'm personally excited about this one. Anyone who's been listening knows I'm an A's fan, knows I grew up going to the Coliseum, and knows I don't want to say angry, like just kind of heartbroken over the situation. So to have the opportunity to send Vivek and the Kings home, it's not going to make me feel better about everything there, but I'll I'll certainly enjoy it. And I know other people who grew up A's fans feel the same way. It's just kind of like, you know what? If I can cause a little pain to that guy, make me feel a little better about it. Especially since, like, come on, man. Kings talked a lot of junk. a lot of junk to lose to the Warriors last year. I'd love them to not make the playoffs, then lose fucking De'Aaron Fox, and then, you know, you're back to being a terrible team. So I'm in my Larry David spite mode with them. Makes it like five. Like, if the Warriors beat the Pelicans, I'd be happy. But it's not like I like.
It's not doing anything for you.
I'd just be happy that they won. I'm not sitting here going like, I can't stand that Brandon Ingram, you know, like, I got like a grudge with Herb Jones, you know,
won on the Warriors actually.
Yeah. That, Zion, you know, I'll keep going down the list. Right. Trey Murphy. I mean, yeah, any of them will do, but anyway, but with the Sacramento and the A's and everything, it's just kind of, it's a little added like, yeah, man, I'd like it a little more.
You know, this is kind of off a little different from what we're going to get into, but the cool part about sports regionally is, you know, as fan bases that grow up rooting for the teams, like this stuff brings a different juice to rivalries. I know the Warriors and Cavs have a great rivalry based on the fact that they played each other, and you know, Warriors fans hated Cavs fans, mostly, you know, hated LeBron. Hate in terms of sports terms, and I think that grew into an amazing rivalry. I don't think you could beat that, but just the Kings and the Warriors don't play games of significance. But because of the fact, like for you, I don't have as many Kings fans friends. I have some, but like you have a way, you're more way passionate about this. Which is the cooler part about I think sports and Warriors fans is like it's not. I don't think there's hatred between the two, but it's definitely going to be. Because I think both teams hate the Lakers more. But it's gonna be it's gonna be a hell of a atmosphere in there, because you gotta remember, if we go back to last season's series, do you remember all the shit that happened in that seven gamer? Only the Warriors play the most entertaining seven gamers, but the level of drama, you gotta remember. Draymond stomps on Sabonis, who was like low key dirty all series and was pulling his leg. Harry B missing open
that threes. That leg pull still pissed me off. I get it with like Draymond getting suspended for the kick, but like, come on, let's be real about why it happened. You know?
Yeah. Kevon Looney was getting after him, right? That was a big thing. Because
shout out Looney.
Remember, Sabonis didn't have a good series, that was the thing. That was the thing there. So like, What has made these Warriors, let's say Warriors Rockets, right? You have Harden talking shit, and
sure,
Chris Paul coming in. The Cavs, you have the LeBron like talking smack. You got OKC, you got Russell Westbrook talking. Then they lose 3-1. Like all these series, and then Memphis. Remember that year couple years ago, the John Morant knee pull. And so I think this is just going to be one game. It's basically a game seven. But if you bring all that passion back into one night, Sam, I don't know. This is made for TV. This is by far the most. This will be by far the most watched playing game, by far. If Lakers Warriors happens on Friday night, that will be the highest one. But of any iteration of a playing game, it doesn't get any more. Like, the stakes might not be high just because neither team are going to win a playoff round probably. But just if you compare passions to the fan base, don't like each other, players don't like each other. This is the one. This is the one that Adam Silver is probably going to show up to, if he's going to show up to something. So I can't wait for it.
Yeah, I agree. What I was going to say is, you actually dovetail into it pretty quickly, which is, you feel like you've seen the Kings a lot, but these aren't really the same teams that we saw last year. You're mentioning Looney and Sabonis. Looney was playing like 25, 30 minutes a game when last time they played the Kings. They played the Kings three times in November, once in January. And just like to kind of sum it up, you know, Trace wasn't in the rotation the last time they played the Kings. Now Trace is firmly ahead of Looney. Do you think Trace going to start, by the way?
Got to, right?
They could go with Kuminga with the small ball lineup.
But knowing them saying that hits worked, have you seen Steve Kerr going like, I'm going to make the first adjustment?
Also,
when has he ever done that?
Yeah, it's a single elimination game. But my point is, Trace wasn't even an option in the rotation last time they played. And then on the Kings side, I think everyone listening knows, but Herter, done. Malik Monk, done. Monk specifically just abuses the Warriors. They have such a hard time guarding Fox and Monk together. And Keon Ellis, who has kind of turned into their mini revelation for them, he wasn't playing for this team before like February. He also, like Trace, played a total of 4 or 5 minutes all season against these teams. All that's to say, like, yeah, it's the same main faces. It's Fox. It's a bonus. Mike Brown's a coach. But I don't think they're really the same team. And I want to bring one last thing up for you here, which is since Monk has gone down, did you know, and it's only been 10 games, so take this for what you want, but it's the last 10 games. Kings have had the fifth best defense over those 10 games. They've also been the second slowest team in the NBA over those 10 games. I honestly, like, it makes sense. Just superficially, you lose guys like Monk and Herder, you're less likely to get great spacing and get out and run. So they're turning into a little more of a defensive, grinded out team. Keon Ellis, who's replacing Herder, is more of a defensive player. Davion Mitchell, who we know played a lot more, he's also a defensive player. Do you buy what I'm saying? Do you buy that it's a different Kings team? Are you looking at, you're like, eh, it's single elimination, it's Fox, it's a bonus, and everyone plays off of them, and you're kind of overcomplicating it.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because I keep bringing back last series, and I'm trying to take stuff from last series. I'm trying to nitpick things that I think will matter. Even in single eliminations, I think that I don't think it matters how good they are defensively, because I do, and this might be oversimplifying it, but I think most teams guard the Warriors' offense at this point pretty easily, especially if Steve Kerr and Steph aren't going to run pick and roll, which we know they won't for the first 6 minutes. Because they never do, and they never do when it slumps. We saw that Pelican. I watched that Pelicans game. I know you did. I know I didn't come on the show, but I know you watched that Pelicans game, and that was as frustrating as it gets. But I do think, regardless if you want to say that this defense is a lot better, I just think teams always guard the Warriors well, even if they have good defensive personnel. Now, the one that really trips me up is their 29th in pace and their offense. Because you got those games last year, the Warriors, and nobody can guard the Kings when they have all these shooters spacing everywhere. There's such a bad matchup for especially the Lakers, right? Like, Lakers cannot guard this team.
It's Fox getting downhill with dudes and just snipers around him. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see if this part is true, what you're saying about the pace and the defensive piece, then are the Warriors going to be able to win this game on defense? That's the big one. Is it really not going to be 131, 128? Because, you know, unless Steph is going out there and just saying, I'm going to take over, and he might, but I don't think he will. Then I do think this Kings defense is going to be fine. I think they were going to be fine anyway with Herder, because this Warriors offense isn't very good to begin with. But I'd be fascinated to see how they're going to function on offense, because if Sabonis is going to play like he did against Looney last postseason, then, I mean, you would imagine, Sam, that's why this is a good matchup for the Warriors. You would imagine that the Warriors have a pretty easy time winning this game. But, you know,
that's the whole thing.
It's a good matchup.
I would bet money that they win a series against this team in 5 games. Maybe 6 if they play with their food. So probably 6 because they'll play with their food. Yeah. But in single elimination, anything can go, you know? And Steve's not really the best single game coach. Yes, like, that's always kind of been the issue. It's too much like, let your players figure it out. And this needs to be one of those games where it's like, this isn't working. Get it out of there now. You know?
Well, so let's go back to Friday. So I wasn't there on Friday. And if we go back to single elimination coaching adjustments, Steve Kerr comes out on Sunday and says, hey, I probably should have played Trayce Jackson-Davis more. It's not a crazy adjustment to make. It's just an adjustment that you make because a player is playing well and the matchup makes sense. Pelicans are big. Pelicans have Zion Williamson. They have athletes. Maybe put a guy that's athletic out there that can block a shot. It's not fucking rocket science. We're not saying anything crazy, but Steve doesn't make that adjustment. He doesn't make that adjustment because he doesn't make adjustments in game. It's not what he does, right? To you, what you just said, right? He's a guy that just goes in there. He has a set lineup, set rotation.
Stick to the script.
And he believes it. He believes in the players. And you, that's good. That's good most of the time, sometimes. But you're right. You're right. In the single elimination Tuesday night, let's say TJD has a really bad first couple minutes. Or let's go the opposite. Let's say he plays very well. And should he close? Or should Kuminga close? Or should Wiggins close? I mean, they probably need Wiggins to guard De'Aaron Fox. But it's like,
That's, or is he going to stick to the script and put Chris Paul or Looney in there because they're veterans that he trusts down the stretch? Like, they, yeah, I mean, that's my single biggest concern. I think the Warriors are situated to guard the Kings pretty well. They're going to put Wiggins on Fox, to your point. You don't have the shooters you have in the past. So, you know, someone like Steph or Clay is less likely to be abused by a Keon Ellis or a Davion Mitchell than they would be by like a Malik Monk.
Yep.
And all of it kind of plays kind of positively for the Warriors, but we'll see.
Light Years Podcast, we, as you know, are brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats. Watch the winnings roll in. Sam, this is an easy one for us tomorrow. Easy Prize Picks selections for tomorrow's Warriors game. Steph's got the prop at 20.5, and then old friend Harrison Barnes, old friend Harry B. You can pick more or less on the points for 14.
This is the easiest money play I'm going to play all year. Yes, Steph sir. Will have over 28.5, and Harrison Barnes elimination game, bet the under. Seen this one too many times. I know players who get tight in elimination games. He's about to put up a nice 1-for-5 from the 3-point line, 2-for-8 from the field, 5 points. He'll get 6 rebounds, 7 rebounds. He'll be contributing that way, but he'll be playing hot potato, shooting the ball. He's gonna be saying, De'Aaron, take us home. I'm passing it. I'm not shooting the ball.
Steph, couple days off. I mean, game 7, what did he do last year? In Sacramento, 50 points. I mean, 28.5 might be selling him short. So this is an easy 2-pick. An easy 2-4 days off, easy 2-pick parlay, man. Easy stuff. So look, download the app today. Use code. You guys know the code, LightYears, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the app today. Use code LightYears for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. LightYears podcast. We are brought to you by GameTime. GameTime, the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. All in prices show your total up front, so you know you're getting a great deal before you check out. Buy tickets in seconds with 2 taps. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app today. Create an account. Use code LightYears for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed.
All right, we talked about it beforehand. Who do you think starts? Steph for sure starts. Wiggins will for sure start. Draymond will for sure start. I think Clay will for sure. I don't think Odds is going to start. I think it's going to be Clay. And then who's the fifth guy?
So I feel like you're asking this question kind of pushing the fact that maybe Kuminga should be starting. But I think knowing...
It's just they haven't had the same starting lineup all year. So it's not 2017. So
they will keep it that way. They will never have the same starting lineup. Not till next year they might come. It's like the Giants. They'll never have a stable lineup. Although they do now, but they still suck. But I think Trayce Jackson-Davis starts. I think he's been good for a while. I think they like Draymond playing off of him. Here's the matchups I think they go with, dude. So what you're saying earlier, I think they go with Wiggins on Fox. I think they go with Trayce Jackson-Davis on Sabonis to see if he can hold up for the first 5 minutes. If he doesn't, he's yanked, right, for the game. I think Steve will do that. And then I know Draymond will guard either Harrison Barnes or Keon Ellis. Maybe they put Steph on Keon Ellis. And Draymond will roam so that he can help on Fox and or Sabonis, probably both. Like, that's the easy, like, okay, you guys don't have Herter. You guys don't have Monk. We don't really have to worry about guys that are going to hit us for 7 threes tonight.
Keegan Unless Murray's, Harry B does it.
Yeah. But then they'll live with
it. He did it once this year.
Yeah. Their guess, as you know, is going to be if Harry B goes for 32 on us, Harry B goes for 32 on us. Maybe he does. We've seen a lot of fake shooting games. Honestly, it's kind of fitting if the Warriors get sent home by Harrison Barnes. It would be. But I kind of almost guarantee you those are the matchups.
I think so too. Quarter. Do you think Looney, how much do you think Looney plays? Because Looney has been out of the rotation for, I mean, kind of a couple months, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play Looney. I know Steve too well.
Wow.
He when has he played poorly against Sabonis? This is like he turns into Moses Malone against Sabonis. You know what I mean? And Steve's the kind of guy who's going to be like, I know you've had a rough go of it, but I'm going to throw you out there. I know you know how to guard this guy. I can't hate on it because, you know, if Looney doesn't contribute anything the rest of the year but goes in there and bullies Sabonis a little bit, worth it, you know?
You think they'll do that? You think the coaching staff will kind of dust him off and just kind of bring him in after not playing? You think they'll do that?
I do. And it kind of dovetails to my other question because, like, you know, Chris Paul is going to play extended minutes. And my real question here is, like, how much does Kuminga get involved in this thing? Because
– oh, boy.
If they bring Looney and Chris Paul heavily into the rotation, that's a really old and unathletic lineup you're throwing out there. You know what I'm saying? It's not just Kuminga, but he represents kind of the younger, more athletic play. Even Pods, who's going to get some run, he's not really an athlete. You know, he's not giving you that extra burst that someone like Kuminga gives you. I know Kuminga's been in and out of the lineup the last couple of weeks for injury reasons, but it's – you can't disregard what he's done this year growth-wise either. And I'm just curious because Steve, in these single elimination scenarios, he always goes to his vets. He goes to the guys he trusts Looney. He knows he can count on Looney to execute an assignment to the best of his ability, you know? Whereas, like, Kuminga got benched against the Kings last year, you know? So that's kind of what I'm curious to see there because – yeah, Steph could go supernova, but I kind of also think they need some form of athleticism, especially if the Kings are going to start throwing kind of like athletic wings on Clay and the offense bogs down a little
problem. Bit. Here's the problem, mm-hmm. dude. The problem is that, in my opinion, I think this is a good matchup for Kevon Looney and Chris Paul. That's the problem. Now, I think you can argue.
They could have used him more against like the – you could have used him maybe more against like the Pelicans, who they needed more athleticism, for example.
I think, yeah, like Pelicans, I don't, Looney and Chris Paul, like that's a tough matchup for those guys, just running up and down, athletic, all that. But I think the Kings, like how much are you really worried about Keon? I know he's made some shots, but like how much are you really worried about him? How much are you really worried about Davion Mitchell? How much are you really worried about Harrison Barnes? Sabonis,
again, you're talking about their offense.
I'm talking about both. To be honest, like I think both guys match up well offensively and defensively against this team this season in a one-game format. And I think you sold me on the Looney piece. I think Kerr puts him in the rotation. I think he puts Chris Paul in the closing lineup against this team. It would not surprise me. You're shaking your head.
It wouldn't surprise me either. And that's kind of
makes sense against this team, right? Like the Malik Monk piece. Him being out, and maybe Steve Kerr closes with Chris Paul anyway, but they cannot guard. They just cannot guard
right,
Fox and Monk.
Right. If you take
Monk out, yeah.
If Monk's out there and they have Chris Paul or Steph chasing him, they're cooked, which is exactly what happened during the regular season. Yeah. But without him, I see what you're saying. I guess it comes down to how much the Kings defense is really for real the last 10 games. But what I'm looking at when I look at the Kings starting lineup, Keegan Murray's an athlete. Keon Ellis is an athlete who's clearly better defensively than he is offensive. Like his value is defense, and then like currently he's hitting enough shots, but I'm not really sure if he's a shooter.
Yep.
You know, De'Aaron Fox can definitely guard when he wants to. He's also very athletic. I do wonder if they start bottling up Steph and daring other people to meet him, which is where Kuminga just using his athleticism to finish at the rim. They could also get it with Trace with the 4-on-3. You know, they trap Steph, Draymond, lob, Trace. We've seen that a bazillion times.
Well,
I do wonder if that comes into effect. Like,
here's another wrinkle with Kuminga though. I want to go back to what you're saying. GP2's out.
Yeah,
GP2's out. So my fear would be that, to what you're saying, if they're going to play Kuminga extended minutes, are they playing him to guard Fox? because that's a terrible matchup. And I think in theory, it's like, oh, Kuminga, like, look what Wiggins does, because Wiggins does a great job on Fox. So it's like, look what he can do. But Wiggins is way quicker, smarter. He's just been in the league forever. And he's a better defender. Oh, he's 20 times a defender that Kuminga is. The problem is...
He's a better defender, but the thing that Kuminga's done well defensively is guard one-on-one.
I disagree. I'm just saying that would be a bad matchup. If they end up putting Kuminga in and have him guarding Fox, and that's why I bring up the GP2 thing, which is like, man, GP2, is he ever going to play more than three games in a row? And he's out. This is the game they need him. Do they need him against the Pelicans, Sam? Nah. CJ McCollum doesn't move me. So they don't need him there, but GP2 can't play against the Kings, who has one of the best scoring point guards in the league. So if Wiggins...
I do agree with you. You want GP2 specifically for the De'Aaron Foxes of the world. So I don't...
Now he's out.
But I will say, Kuminga, and hear me out on this one. You are not wrong in saying pretty much from the All-Star game on, I feel like his head hasn't been there defensively at all. Earlier in the season, he did have success guarding Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. He had some good moments on some of the better guards in the league as well. I'm not saying he's as good as Wiggins. I'm saying Wiggins is not going to guard him for 40-plus minutes. All right, this is the other thing. I guarantee you De'Aaron Fox plays 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Wiggins is not going to guard him for 40 plus minutes. Also, it's just not smart to have one guy match up with someone the whole time. So I think Kuminga is going to get some run on him. And if Kuminga just tires him out a little bit so Wiggins can guard him down the stretch, he's done his job too. It kind of brings up this meta, but like, I really do think they're going to need Kuminga's offense getting downhill. I just don't know how much of it they're going to need. And I don't know how much Steve's going to trust him, which brings kind of a bigger question for me, which is, if you think a player is your future, we shouldn't be wondering if he's going to play in a big game, you know?
Boy, that is a hell of a question.
This is my last question for this, which is kind of like, what do we want to see in this game? What we want to see is them win. What do we want to see player performance-wise in a bigger picture sense?
The Light Years podcast is brought to you by Unified. Unified Healing, new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System or EE System. So whether you are a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in the Bay or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. If you're interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
Before we move on, also, everyone, I want to let you know we will be live directly after the game.
Let's go.
On Playback. That's playback.tv/light-years. Guys should join us, call in. We'll be taking all the live callers on the show. Andy and I will be there. 9:30, 10, 9:22, 9:46, whatever time they end, we'll be live. You can check us out there. Quick call. Okay, let's get back to the question I was going to say, which is, what do I want to see going into it? And I have two things I want to see. One, I want to see Steph remind everyone who he is. I don't know what they're going to do in the offseason, but you have to be honest with the fact he's 36 and their ability to recruit will be based upon players thinking Steph's still that dude. They honestly should have done it last year when he scored 50 against the Kings, because everyone remembers 50 in a game 7, but they didn't. But they'll have a chance this offseason. If he just has another vintage performance, it's one of those things where it's like, I want to go to the Warriors and play with that guy. That guy's still the man, you know? The second thing is, I want to see Kuminga get serious run in this game, because they're a year away from extending him. We really need to figure out where he fits into the bigger picture here. He He was incredibly useful this season, carrying a lot of offense in the regular season. That's fine. But what gets you paid is playing 30 minutes of a playoff game. You know, what gets you paid is being an impactful player. Because you can say Wiggins is the more polished player, but Wiggins has played 10 years in this league, and I don't know which Wiggins I'm going to get every night. I don't know if his effort's going to be there. You know, he's playing well recently. We don't need to relitigate the last 5 years and what it's going. What I'm saying is Kuminga, they're not going to give him anything, but if they want him to be that guy, if he wants to be that guy, he takes the moment, is what I'm saying. He gets subbed in and you feel his impact. It's right. Not like last playoffs where
right.
Steve gave him a couple shots and he kind of came with regular season energy, that sort of thing. So that's what I want to see, because nothing would make me happier than Kuminga having kind of like a 20 points, you know, Warriors down 2 points, and he ignites a run with some solid defense and some transition and athleticism and that sort of thing. But he has to actually do it,
right?
Because I'm not moved by the concept of the potential. Like, he's in his third year. The Oklahoma City Thunders, two of their big three are in their second year. You know, guys are actually like, that's my point. He needs to prove he's that guy.
Well,
to a certain degree. And be that guy doesn't mean go out there and be Kawhi Leonard. It's just make Sam and Andy go on the post game show and say Kuminga turned the game in the second quarter.
Yes, that's what Kuminga wants. That's what he's thinking about tonight, actually, as he goes to bed, is he wants Sam and Andy to talk about him on the show. That's what he cares about. What's funny is when you started that thought process there, I thought we were far apart kind of in what we were thinking. But as you ended, I think we're on the same page. You know, you bring up OKC. I got a lot of things I want to kind of hit on. So we'll go this one first. You bring up OKC, kind of year three guys. Jalen Williams, okay, because I think you can throw Chet Holmgren out, because Chet Holmgren, you know, number one pick, whatever. Like, Kuminga's not that guy, not number one pick, number two pick. But, like, he's the guy. He's always going to be good. Kuminga's not that. Kuminga, though, compared to Jalen Williams, similar, right, in terms of, like, mid-lottery. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. And even Kuminga's a little higher. He's number seven. But kind of the same to me. And Jalen Williams, and part of this is exceptions, he's going to be a star. Superstar? Maybe. Shit, maybe. He's just that good.
Star right now.
Exactly. I mean, he's that good. And Kuminga, and you can argue whether it be minutes, whether it be whatever. He's not Jalen Williams right now. He's not going to be Jalen Williams ever. And I think the fact that you and I are sitting here and asking, like, is he going to come in with regular season energy or playoff energy? It's like, bro, that's some Andrew Wiggins ass shit. Like, that, yeah. That's literally the stuff that is annoying about Andrew Wiggins. And the difference I will say is that Andrew Wiggins at least has shown us that he's good enough to win a championship. Kuminga certainly hasn't. And now that's his job to do that, because Kuminga's 21. So he still has freaking 7 years.
But also, let me just interrupt you one way. Yeah. Wiggins showed us he was good enough to be the third option on a title team at age 27.
Yeah, yeah. So 6 years difference, right? 6 year difference.
And 8 years into his career, which is to say, if that's what you think Kuminga will be, he's not the future of your franchise. He's a nice piece around two guys who you don't have who may be the future of your franchise.
By the way, that's what I think he is. and that's where I don't know if we're connected on that piece, but that's what I think he ends up being. Like, my thing with him is, like, it is Aaron Gordon. Like, can you be Aaron Gordon? Aaron Gordon is freaking awesome. He is amazing.
Also, he's also 29 years old and kind of a similar path as Wiggins in his career, yeah, right?
Yep. Barry guy. So that's the hard part. I think the expectations for fans that want Kuminga to be more than what I think he's going to be is just, I think, unfair. And tomorrow, it's not going to be the rest of his career tomorrow. But we're, I think, using this as a jumping off point, because this does kind of feel like his Warriors career is that, man, like, after this whole season, Sam, after the big leap he's had, after going and talking to Shams and essentially making Steve Kerr start him, but then it actually working because he is a much better player than he was last season. After all of this, Kuminga's not starting tomorrow's game, and we don't know if he's going to close after all of this. And that's the problem right there, is that Trayce Jackson-Davis is closing. Is starting the game. Andrew Wiggins is going to be closing the game, most likely. And Kuminga, you can argue, might just play 20 minutes. And I forget the fact that whether it's right or wrong, isn't that just crazy? That's just, that conversation is crazy. And I think to what you're saying, to where you're like, for the future of this team, even if they win or lose tomorrow, if Kuminga just plays 19 minutes, we might have a problem. I think that's not a crazy thing to say.
I just think we need to know, crazy thing to say, because they want him to be the second star. And I don't know that he's that. It's not unrealistic to say his long-term best stretch of basketball has him in an Aaron Gordon or Andrew Wiggins role in 5-6 years as a third, fourth option on a contending team. You know, it's not unrealistic. It's also not unrealistic to think that he could have a leap and be like a Jaylen Brown type of all-star. But you know what Jaylen Brown did with the Celtics? He kind of popped immediately in the playoffs. He wasn't perfect, but you felt him. Like, I thought he was whatever. And then he averaged like 18 points per game on that Celtics team that went to the conference finals, even though Kyrie was hurt. Remember that team in 2018? The one that lost to LeBron with rookie Tatum and stuff. Jaylen Brown played really well in that stretch, and you felt him more than anything. You like, he does some boneheaded things, like anytime he dribbles with his left, for example, you know, but like, you don't walk away. Like, you feel his impact. He locks in physically. He hits shots. He puts pressure on the defense. He defends. He does, like, he plays with appropriate playoff intensity. Right. I'm not saying Kuminga is not going to do that, but I want to know, should we be expecting Kuminga to long-term develop into another Andrew Wiggins, or is he actually going to be that dude next year? Because the Warriors offseason can go many different ways depending on that. And so anyway, that's just that's aside from winning the game, that's probably the biggest thing we can learn.
That actually might be more important. If you talk about this team long-term, and again, be here tomorrow night and the Warriors win, we're back. We are so fucking back. The Warriors lose, we can have the long conversations. But when you talk about Warriors next 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Steph's got a couple years left. Klay's going to re-sign for a couple years. Draymond's got a couple years left. Like, those three guys are still going to be here. So they're not winning anything this year. We're talking about them winning a championship these next 3 years, even if that sounds far-fetched. But they have a fighting chance at it. Tomorrow night does matter, dude. It for Kuminga really does matter. I'm glad you brought this up, because I mean, they could win the game with him playing 18 minutes. I believe it. Chris Paul, good matchup. Kevon Looney, good matchup for this team. Andrew Wiggins plays well. Like, it really, pods, I don't know. Like, maybe it works out. They really could win this game tomorrow with Kuminga playing 18 minutes. But then what does that say? Yeah. You know what I mean? What does that say? That's good. I think the way to think about it.
We'll end it there. Everyone, we'll be on playback after the game. Make sure to join us. The link is in the bio. Appreciate everyone.